Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. We've got a pretty special episode today. So we're sitting once again at the Transit Lounge at Nomad Brewing Company up in Brookvale, Northern Beaches of Sydney.
Less surprising, let us back.
I know, right? And we've got two very special guests with us. So returning to the podcast, we've got Brooks, the brewer at Nomad. So, hey, Brooks.
Hello, guys.
And first-time guest, we're super excited to have you here. We've got Mitch from Stone Brewing
Howdy.
In San Diego. So
great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Sydney, man.
Thank you.
So we're going to have some beers in front of us in a sec, but we thought we'd start anyway. And probably, I think we'll start with having a chat with you, Mitch, about your history with beer. So how you first kind of got into beer and what, like, the, you know, how you got to where you are now being the head brewer at one of the best craft breweries in the world.
Ah, well, thanks. I've been brewing for about 25 years now. And when I went to college in the early 1980s, I went to University of California at Davis. And they had a winemaking program that I started with that. And then found out they had a brewing program at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I kind of gravitated over towards the beer. I've always been a big fan of beer, since before I was legally able to drink it.
Just smelling it, of course. Yeah,
but I was, kind of a science guy and the science and the art aspect of brewing beer or making wine was really something that I enjoyed. So when I graduated from UC Davis, craft brewing was just getting started in the United States. Sierra Nevada and Anchor were really the only options in California.
Yeah.
And neither one of them were hiring. So I ended up getting a job in the wine business and was living in the central part of California, making wine and I did that for 8 years. And about 4 years into that job, there was a guy in the town who was starting up a brew pub. And I reached out to him, and just because I still wanted to get into beer, just said, hey, is there any way I can get involved with this or invest or do something? And he's like, well, I don't have a brewer yet. You want to be my brewer? And I'm like, sure. So I did that for 4 years. Moonlighted. I still worked at the winery, but we were only brewing once or twice a week.
Yeah.
So I was able to go in there and brew batches of beer with them, and we had a great time with that. That was called San Andreas Brewing Company. It's no longer in existence. It went out of business, I want to say, about 6 or 7 years ago. When we brewed British-style beers.
Yeah.
And, all the time I was working there, we were hoping to grow the business to the point where I could come on board full-time. And it just never happened. So I ended up getting a job with Anheuser-Busch in 1992 and figured that was going to be a great way for me to learn how to make beer in a brewery and make it consistent and all the quality things that go into beer. And I wasn't wrong about that. I definitely learned that. But I figured I'd give it 5 years, and just see how it went and then try to get back into craft. I ended up staying there for 14 years.
Wow.
So,
And
I moved around a lot. I got to do new product development in Anheuser-Busch in the mid-1990s and formulated a lot of beers for them. So that was, that's something not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah,
so that was a really neat experience. And then when this job at Stone came up in 2006, I figured, well, here's an opportunity, for me to get back into doing what I love, which, is making really, really flavorful, hoppy, bitter beers, I've been a Stone for 9 years now. I've seen it grow.
Wow.
The first year we were there, we did 48,000 barrels in the new brewery. And last year we did 287,000 barrels.
That's huge.
So
we're
growing a lot. We're growing fast.
So was 2006 when Stone moved to their new brewery? Is that why they were looking for it?
Yeah, well, that is exactly what happened. They moved to the new brewery in the very start of 2006, and the head brewer there at the time, Lee Chase, decided to go off and do his own thing, and he's running a several very successful beer places in San Diego now. He's got
a
little brewery,
yeah.
And he's got, I think, three or four bars in San Diego.
Wow.
So he's doing quite well, and he's a great guy. But he just decided to do something smaller than what was going on at Stone, and so that's why the job came open.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Steve Wagner, who's one of the co-owners of Stone, it just seemed like a great fit.
And yeah.
I was really excited at the opportunity, and it's been great.
Do you feel that your time at Anheuser-Busch really put you in the right place coming into something growing with that fast growth?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, that was one of the things that I think Steve was looking for, was having somebody with some of that experience,
yeah.
You know, how to graduate the brewery from a small craft brewer to a regional,
yeah.
You know, yeah. A pretty big brewery, and somebody who knew what it took to do that, you know, from a quality quality standpoint and from a planning standpoint and things like that. So that was a lot of what I've focused on.
Yeah.
Now we've had some beers placed in front of us. We've got three beers. I think two of yours, Brooks, and one of yours, Mitch. So we've got the Sideways Pale Ale, the Jetlag IPA, and then the Delicious from Stone.
Great.
So that's, yeah.
Should we start with the Sideways? Or
yeah,
like,
so, yeah.
So I'm assuming you've had a chance to try some of the Nomad's beers already?
Well, I had Sideways last night,
oh, yeah.
and it was just absolutely wonderful. It's a great
yeah.
beer.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
It's, because it's not... super strong, is it, Brooks? It's
4% ABV,
yeah.
So but really sessionable.
It still has that kind of fair bitterness to it as
it's
well.
It's got a lot of bitterness yeah. for 4%, yeah. I think we've had it on the podcast before, and yeah, we're all big fans of this,
yeah.
And the jet lag as well, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah. I just like all
the
beers.
And the cruising.
Brooks, can you talk us about how the recipes evolved since that first batch
here at Nomad?
Well
basically as we started Nomad, we really didn't have a lot of time to test our batches.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much whatever we brewed, we went ahead and brewed 5,000 liters of. We did make some small changes to a couple of recipes, especially Jetlag IPA and Long Trip Saison. A couple of changes that we thought would improve and make the beers even more interesting. For example, on Long Trip, we started doing a sour mash.
Yeah.
Because we thought it would, just with that little bit of tartness, it would give it an extra layer of
mm-hmm.
complexity that really kind of like cleans it up, makes it more quaffable, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so that was a big thing. I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes two more days to brew it, because of course we need to let the mash go sour.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it really goes a long way. And
I think it adds a really nice level of depth.
Now, what we're really working on here at Nomad is consistency, of
yeah.
course, keeping all the batches, you know, as consistent as possible, and that's
yeah.
a big challenge, of course. But yeah, I mean, so far we're pretty happy with the
yeah.
results, and
great.
Luckily enough, the we're getting, you know, good feedback and
yeah.
on the beers, and
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, excellent. Yeah, I mean, it's like you could see why you're getting good feedback. It's a very tasty beer.
Mitch, it seems like you've been very early on a good component of using like Australian New Zealand hops from quite an earlier stage.
Yeah.
Would that be
yeah,
right to say?
That is true.
Yeah.
We've used a lot over the years. You know, we brew so many IPAs at Stone that I'm always looking for new flavor combinations, and that's
there's only
really
so many
sea
hops you can put into it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Centennial's been our workhorse for years.
Yeah.
You know, that is the feature hop in both Stone IPA and Ruination IPA. But you know, when Greg approaches me about doing something new and different, I tend to look for new hop varieties and try to see what's out there, and we put a lot of focus on hops at Stone, obviously with our
beer,
but I mean just research. You know, we've got a little 5-barrel pilot brewery in the brewery, and we use that to brew single hop IPAs all the time. So when we come across a new variety, boom, we'll try it, and if we like it, then we'll try to get some and try to figure out a way to use it. And that's been something that I've been really happy with how that's played out over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because obviously we get a lot of beers here that have good Aussie hops, so
yeah.
Galaxy is a favourite of everyone's and mine. I think you know, there's some good Summer, Ella, and then New Zealand has some great ones as
yeah.
well, like
Motueka,
Nelson
Savannah. I like Motueka.
Yeah.
I we use for the finishing hop and Enjoy by IPA. It was It's got a lot of New Zealand and Australian hops in that beer, and it's wonderful. And our anniversary beer this year, which will come out in July, is going to be 100% Australian hops.
Oh, wow, cool. Yeah.
And Australian malt, if everything goes
on. Cool.
We're working on getting that shipped over now. So,
great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I love Galaxy. Ella, I love that hop is absolutely incredible. Vic's Secret, which we're using in the beer here, has become a favorite as well.
Cool.
So,
yeah,
it's been fun.
So we should mention you guys are brewing a collaboration beer today. You're in the middle of the brew day, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So after we finish recording, you're going to go and add the hops to the beer. So would you be able to tell us a bit about the beer, what it is, how you came up with it, what's going into it? Yeah, Brooks.
I don't remember exactly how we settled on the idea of doing a rye IPA, but that's what we're brewing is a rye IPA. And I know Brooks and I emailed back and forth a few times to try and dial in the recipe, and we settled pretty quickly on using a blend of American and Australian hops in the beer, which I think is going to it's going to be fun. So we're using Centennial and Cascade and Galaxy and Vic's Secret as the finishing hops in this beer. So I think it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I like rye IPAs anyway.
Yeah.
they're a fun style. So
we've sung their praises a lot on this podcast. So, yeah.
Essentially, rye is a grain that we hadn't used yet here at Nomad.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just thinking about what we could do.
Something interesting.
Thought, well, we haven't reused rye, and rye goes well with hops, and it's a pretty popular style.
Yeah.
And so there you go. And just three or four emails back and forth.
it actually came together very quickly.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think a rye IPA sounds like a natural fit for both breweries as well.
So that's it's pretty exciting. And I think today is also kind of a bit of a launch for Stone in a little, like the Delicious definitely is this the first.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
Just getting started. Yeah.
But we're excited about it. Yeah, one of the reasons I'm out here is to meet some folks involved in the craft beer scene out here and introduce people to our beers. So, you know, we hope to start shipping pretty full time very soon. Right now in the United States, the West Coast shipping docks are having some problems.
Is that still ongoing with the stevedores?
Yes. Yeah. So.
Just for those who don't know, there's been some strikes in the docks on the west coast of the state, so it's been some...
Don't they know we want our beer?
Like, yeah.
You know, we have a bunch of German malt that's been sitting in the water for weeks,
and
we just can't get it through the ports. And, and so we're dealing with the same issue getting our beer out to ship it here. But we'll get there. We'll get it done. And
But, I mean, it's not just you guys. I think everyone's...
Everybody's struggling with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my US fridge at work is looking... a little bit desperate at the moment, yeah.
So you've been around to a few breweries already. You've only been here for a day. What's been your... Yeah, congratulations.
My priorities, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's an untapped badge for that, right?
well, you're not here to mess around, you know? You've got to drink the beer. What's been your kind of impressions and thoughts on Sydney and the Australian... kind of craft beer scene. So
I think it's great. I'm excited. I was excited to visit. I think we went to four breweries yesterday. You know, just off the plane and straight to a brewery.
Yeah.
You know, great, nice people, good brewers. The beers are solid. I've really enjoyed them. You know, like I said earlier, I love Australian hops, so to get beers that really focus on those has been fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because not that many people are using them in the United States. There are a few, but there's not that many, and so it's been fun to try and taste some different beers with Galaxy and the Vic's Secret and things like that. So it's been great.
Yeah,
and it seems like a really healthy, thriving beer scene. And, you know, that's exciting too. I look forward to coming back. Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's growing. So it's still quite a small scene here, but it's growing. So like, if you came back in a year, it would be. I think it's exponential at the moment. It is just.
It's neat to see. It's happening everywhere,
you
know, even places like Germany, we're starting to see craft brewers there, and
which is exciting.
Certainly is. Yeah, it's nice. It's really. You know, the growth in the United States has been phenomenal, but it's great to see how it's growing in yeah. countries that have more traditional beer cultures, you know, like Germany and England and places like that. Yeah. So it's neat.
Speaking of Germany, you guys are setting up a brewery over there, and you're also expanding to the east coast of the US.
That's correct. Yes.
How's your role changed in the last couple of years since those projects have been set up?
Well, I've and Brooks and I were talking about this earlier today. I'm not out in the brewery much anymore. I'm doing more planning and strategic type stuff involved with these projects. My main focus is on the consistency and quality of our beer. So I still get heavily involved in that aspect of it, though I'm not brewing as much as I used to. I think the big thing for us with the project in Virginia is to make sure the beer's flavor match, you know, that it tastes the same coming out of Virginia that it tastes like coming out of Escondido. In Germany, we're not going to worry about it that much. We're going to brew our style of beers, though. Yeah. We're not going to be brewing Pilsners and Hefeweizens. Yeah, we're going to brew IPAs and strong ales and that kind of beer. But I've been told by our owners that we don't need to worry about flavor matching as long as the beer's our stone style beer, which is a huge relief.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah, that's going to be quite an effort.
But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we're building two breweries at the same time.
Yeah, wow.
They're both on similar timelines. We hope to have both of them open and operating by this time next year. And I'm not sure we're going to make that, but we've got a very aggressive timeline, and we've got a lot of people working on it. Yeah. So we, you know. I don't think if they get delayed, it won't be because of anything we didn't do.
Yeah.
don't think.
And once you've built those, how about building one in Australia? Is that?
I'm going to take that back with me and say that's what I think we need to do. I've been here just a little over 24 hours and already have fallen in love with it. It's a great place. I really,
that's really cool.
You know, staying on the beach doesn't
harm it.
Doesn't harm it.
Excellent. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I've moved on to my second beer.
So. I've just been drinking them all. Equally.
I kind of skipped right to the delicious.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about the delicious IPA?
Yes, absolutely. It's a new beer for us. I mean, Greg Cook, one of our owners, approached me probably about a year and a half ago and said, I want to brew a beer and call it Delicious IPA. And I was like, oh boy, that's a tall order. Yeah. And so we brewed this beer off and on at our 11 barrel brew house in downtown San Diego.
Yep.
And I played around with a lot of different hop combinations, and we were focusing on using Mosaic and a new hop called El Dorado. And we weren't getting it. It was great beer. It tasted great, but it wasn't quite what we wanted it to be. Mm. And so Chris Ketchum, who's our brewing manager at Liberty Station, is doing some single hop IPAs as well. And so I asked him to do one with 100% El Dorado because I really wanted to get a feel for what that hop was. And it was so good. This beer was amazing. And so we decided to pull the Mosaic out of Delicious IPA.
Yeah.
And focus on the El Dorado.
So is it single hop? Or
it's not single hop. There's another hop in there that's a new hop variety from Steiner called Lemon Drop.
Okay.
That's in there. And, you know, the El Dorado's a neat hop, though. It's very, it's citrusy, but in a different way than the sea hops are. And it's also got a hint of licorice.
Yeah, it's got like a perfumey almost note coming through. Yeah.
And it's the other thing that we do with this beer is we treat it with an enzyme to take the gluten out of the beer. So we're brewing it with malt, but it is gluten reduced. And that's something, and I don't know how prevalent that is here, but in the United States, it's a big deal.
There are a lot of people that
try to avoid gluten in their diets, either because of medical reasons or because they think it's the right thing to do. And so we've got a beer that consistently analyzes at less than 10 parts per million gluten. And so we can say it's gluten reduced on the label, which is, the beautiful thing about this enzyme is it doesn't change the flavor of the beer at all.
I think that's a really great thing because there are some gluten-free beers on the market here, but they're all very entry-level, so there's nothing really... If you're a craft beer drinker, you're up shit creek until now. So.
And that was our thing. Yeah. You know, we wanted to make the best craft-brewed, gluten-free beer.
Because it's gluten-free doesn't have to be an average beer.
Yeah. And we were actually working on another beer to make it gluten-reduced, and then somebody, and I don't remember who it was, it wasn't me, came up with the idea of making the delicious gluten reduced.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, we can do that. There's no problem with doing that. So that's what we did.
I would not have guessed. But yeah. Yeah.
It is delicious.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it is absolutely delicious.
It's quite a unique aroma.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting like lemon and kind of like grape skins. So.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's nice.
And what alcohol percent is the delicious?
7.7%.
Wow.
Percent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty.
Yeah.
We wanted to make it a little bit stronger than our regular Stone IPA,
yeah.
Which comes in
at
6.9.
At that high.
Yeah.
It definitely has that West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost dry and malty feel to it. So, yeah, definitely.
And you look at it and it's got that nice kind of
reduced,
the clarity of a West Coast.
The enzyme, the reduced gluten, does not hurt the beer at all.
No, it didn't. And we did a lot of side-by-side testing before we decided to go this way.
Yeah,
and we were brewing Stone IPA and Arrogant Bastard Ale with the enzyme and tasting them side-by-side, and nobody could tell the difference.
Okay.
You know? We have a pretty intense sensory program with Stone. So
I would imagine,
I trusted the results.
Yeah.
That's actually something we don't have so much in Australia. A lot of the craft breweries, they haven't really had the money or the time to set up proper labs. And but that's because I know you're obviously very focused on quality and consistency.
I think once you get to a certain size, you have to. It's just kind of a natural function of growth. But it's important that people who buy our beer know what they're going to get when they buy it, and they're not surprised in a bad way.
Well, I was just in the States on the West Coast. I didn't get to make it down to San Diego, unfortunately. But I had a lot of Stone just around.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually skiing at Mammoth Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And at the McCoy Station, halfway up the mountain, I was just, like, skied in. It was, like, lunchtime. And I go to the bar, and they've got Stone IPA on tap halfway up the mountain. And you can't.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's a great place.
It is a great place.
When I got to Stone, we had one person working in quality assurance part-time. And basically, we were plating our beer, doing microbiology on it. And that was about all we were doing.
Yeah.
And since then, we've grown the lab over the years, so we've now got 6 people working in QA or quality assurance, and we've got, I want to say, we've got about 4,000 square feet of lab space. And it's important, once you start shipping your beer all over the place, you need to make sure it's going to ship well, that you understand what's going on in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the analytical side of that helps a lot. I think there are a lot of brewers that start out that can't really do much lab work. It's expensive, and I get that, but you got to have a microscope and a pH meter, I think, if you're going to run a brewery at the very minimum. If you don't, you got to be able to look at your yeast it's, you can make really good beer without having a lab, but once you get to a certain size, it really helps you make better beer. And that's,
Speaking of that, there was a bit of a stop-start sort of thing with getting the Stone beers to Australia. It's great that's happening now. How confident were you with how the beers would travel, and have you had a chance to try some? I mean, you've got a delicious now.
Yeah, how do you think this has traveled?
How do you think they're holding
delicious
up?
Delicious is holding up well.
Yeah.
Our beers, just by their very nature, tend to not age well.
Yep.
I think there's some really interesting things going on with aging and what happens to hoppy beers when they age, but different hop varieties react differently to it, but the American hop varieties tend to fade very quickly. The Australian ones, I'm not seeing it so much. I think the hops kind of stick around a little bit better.
I think you lose a lot of the the big sharper hop flavors with the Australian hops, but most of the flavor seems to stick around. You kind of see it dull a bit, but not completely go away.
So, we're shipping our beer. It'll be refrigerated all the way.
Yep.
And so I think it'll be fine. And obviously this beer that we're drinking right now, I think tastes great. So I'm pretty happy with how it traveled.
Was that a concern for you?
Always.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons we're building a brewery in Germany is we were in England. I want to say it was about 5 or 6 years ago. And we found a bar that was pouring one of our beers. And so we bought some. And it was horrible. It was absolutely awful. And Greg turned to me, and this was after a night of drinking, so I thought it was just the alcohol talking. But he said, if we're really going to get serious about selling our beer here, we should brew it here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And then 2 months later, Greg and Steve walked in my office and said, remember what we were talking about doing a brewery? We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a few, there's a New Zealand brewery who, they're doing the same thing. They've decided to start operations up in the UK. One of,
really?
One of our favorite Yeasty Boys who do.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah. So they've just had a big crowdfunding equity round, which to open up their UK operations. They sold all their shares in 30 minutes, which was
fantastic.
Which in fact, it was a bit too fast. Our producer Lee, he missed out. He's one of their biggest fans. Yeah. So I guess that's the, you know,
it's becoming a more and more of a realistic model, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think definitely in Australia, like, that educational point is coming, and there are some great people really flying that flag. I think Hendo from Brewcult, who hopefully you'll meet when you get to go to Melbourne.
Couple of days,
has done some really great things for, like, pushing the idea of fresh beer and looking after their beers.
Yeah.
So
good.
Once that education gets a bit more developed, it's, you know, it's a part and parcel.
Yeah.
All right, we might start wrapping up. Usually what we do before the end of the episode is we all just go around and recommend a beer for our listeners to taste. So
we're throwing you in the deep end.
Yeah.
we should have told you this beforehand.
We were meant to, but we forgot. I still don't have one, so I won't start. But
I'll
you'll go
for that, yeah. Okay. So... You think you got to check out the Four Pines Brewery yesterday, just down?
Yeah, we were there last night.
Yeah.
They were quite good.
So they just released a Citrus IPA, which is a IPA. It's got some grapefruit and blood orange in it as well, which is tasting amazing. So
I really like the art on
that
bottle. Because it's definitely a step away from what they were doing before.
And for Four Pines, it is definitely a bigger, hoppier presence of a beer.
Cool.
So
I like seeing them doing interesting stuff.
So. Grab a bottle of that.
Yeah, I found that one
interesting.
It's
really good.
Because,
you try Brooks?
Yeah. Actually, I was pretty lucky. You guys know that Four Fines is just down the street. So Chris Wilcock, the head brewer there, production manager, was nice enough to bring us through their underfills on the same day. And so we had it the same day it was bottled, and it was
nice.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, great beer. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to be a bit of a suck up, and I'm going to recommend the Nomad Cruisin'.
Oh god!
We've had it on tap at the pub I work at, and it's tasting really great. Really, especially in this weather, it's just super super drinkable and really tasty. So good work, and
thank you.
That's my recommendation. Yes.
On the same topic of good beers for summer, I've been smashing the Lasseran Citron at the moment.
Nice.
So it's a citrus IPA?
Citrus Saison,
yeah. So they're doing great stuff down there in Victoria. And that's one of their really good beers.
Nice.
Of many really good beers.
Yeah. Now, if you guys can't think of any, don't worry. But if you've got something, then that's... Yeah.
I don't have anything specific because my memory's a little foggy.
Yeah.
But
what's something you've tried in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I tried a lot of
beers.
Yeah. You know, I've liked every place I've gone to. We went to Rocks Brewing first when we got out of the airport. We went to Young Henry's. They had a brown ale that was really nice,
really
hoppy. And
I've heard
really
I haven't had that yet, but I've heard really good.
Yeah, I had that the other day.
Was
really,
that the one that
really
one of
good.
The younger brewers has done?
Oh, I wouldn't
possibly
know.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. We've just got a thumbs up that it is.
Yeah.
And then we came here, and the beers here are great.
Yeah.
It was really great, you know.
Yeah.
And so far it's been just a real positive trip. It's been great.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I'd really like to thank Mitch for being here with us today. And to me, it's really a gift to be able to brew a beer with such a legend in the industry, and so thanks a lot.
Yeah, and thanks for
thank you very much.
Yeah,
thanks for the time to sit down.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm having the time of my life, so it's it's part of the moving to a strategic role. I don't get to brew much anymore, so it's
so
nice to hang out in a brewery when I travel and get to play around a little bit.
Especially when it's someone else's brewery.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just make a mess.
I try to be a good guest.
Yeah. Let's brew 100% rye IPA.
No, I wouldn't do that to anybody.
Cool. Thanks both of you for spending the time to sit down and have a couple of beers with us.
I think we'll let you go add some hops to that beer.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys, for coming here today.
Thank you. Not a problem.
See you later.
Yeah. See you later.
Tough duty.
Yeah.